Spring is certainly on the way, isn't it? Far more days over the past couple of weeks have been sunny and above freezing, which means that late push of snow that offered us something of a normal winter, well, for a while anyway, is on the decline, as sun and wind and heat conspire to beat it back ahead of spring. The area's wildlife will soon reflect the change of seasons as well. Bears will be starting to emerge, moose and caribou are getting ready to drop calves, and migratory birds will be here soon. We are very fortunate to live in an area that has both a great deal of wildlife diversity as well as an abundance, where most species are concerned. Put another way, we have a lot of animal types, and we have a whole lot of them. It's certainly a good thing. The funny thing is, we're just one small part of a much bigger state that has even more as far as diversity and abundance. There's a lot of species across our state that may be common overall, but not something we ever see around here. One of those is a unique horned mammal, Oreamnos americanus. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Oreamnos americanus, otherwise known as the mountain goat, isn't something we're going to see around here. We just don't have the right type of habitat. That doesn't mean we shouldn't know about them or have an interest in them. They are a popular species for hunters, and I'd bet dollars to donuts a fair number of hunters from around the Bristol Bay region have either hunted them or hope to someday. From a distance standpoint, they're not all that far from us. The closest populations are found on Kodiak Island, some 200 miles or so as the raven flies. But you and I both know that mileage doesn't always tell an accurate story when it comes to how close or far away something is. The mountain goat is the single North American representative of a group of mountain ungulates called Rupacaprinae, which means rock goats. It is a very appropriate designation. I read somewhere that mountain goats are one of our least studied large mammals, and a lot of that has to do with the remoteness of where they are typically found. Whereas they are white in appearance, they're sometimes confused with another horned white mammal, the Dall sheep, though they are very different animals indeed. For one thing, mountain goats have gently curving, not all that long, black horns, whereas Dall sheep have curved, spiraling golden brown horns. Also, mountain goats have long, shaggy winter coats to cope with the cold in the winter at the elevations they live at. They're larger than a lot of people would guess them to be. Males, called billies, often top 300 pounds, and females, called nannies, can push 200. They have long, erect hairs along their backs, something to the tune of 8 inches or more, and long hair dangling from their flanks and shoulders. This tends to give them something of a look of wearing breeches of a sort. Again, they have blackish horns that sweep back from the head, which has a long goatish face to it. The horns are often 8 to 10 inches in length, though they can be even a bit bigger. Length is often the same for same-age nannies to billies, but a billy's horns will look larger because they are larger in circumference. They have hooves that are well designed for some of the breathtaking places they call home. Their hooves are designed for climbing on exceedingly steep, often slippery, rocky mountainsides. They can run nimbly across mountain faces that most folks wouldn't be able to stand upon. If you doubt what I'm saying, Google a video or two and have a look for yourself. Briefly, as a side note, let me touch on the fact that they have horns, something a lot of folks seem to want to ascribe to moose and caribou. This is not the first time I've brought up this topic, but it seems like a dandy spot for a short rehash. Horns are permanent. They are not shed. They continue to grow over the entire course of the animal's life. They have a bony core with a keratin sheath that grows over that bony core. Keratin, by the way, is the same stuff your fingernails are made of. Horns are not forked, the exception to that being the American pronghorn. If horns are broken off, they do not grow back out, and this can often be seen in older males of species that have horns. Alaskan species that have horns include Dall sheep, mountain goats, muskoxen, and bison. Antlers are a totally different deal. Antlers are composed entirely of bone and are forked, often in some very creative and captivating ways. Antlers are shed and regrown annually, something I find stunning, given the size of antlers that can be found on mature moose and caribou. Among North American species that grow antlers, only males of the species grow antlers, with the lone exception being caribou. Alaskan species that grow antlers include moose, caribou, Sitka black-tailed deer, and Rocky Mountain elk. Put another way, you'll never see a moose or a caribou with horns. I mentioned mountain goats really haven't been studied as much as some of our other larger mammals, and it has a lot to do with where they're found. Mountain goats inhabit incredibly rugged, mountainous areas across western North America. They like steep and broken areas ranging from as far south as the northern Cascades and Rockies, up through Canada and into Alaska. In Alaska, they are found around coastal areas in the southeast and south central, as well as Kodiak Island. Goats closest to coastal areas migrate up and down from alpine summer ranges to winter ranges at or below the tree line, something like what black-tailed deer do in similar areas. Mountain goats are herbivores, and what and how they eat depends on the particular habitat and season. During the summers, they are in high alpine meadows and graze on sedges and low-growing shrubs. During the winter months, they take on the role of browsers and eat berries and lichens, though as with many species seeking to get through the winter months, what's available often dictates what's eaten. The breeding season is a bit farther along the calendar than what we're used to seeing with moose and caribou. Goats breed from late October through early December. Like the ungulates we have around here, a single male will try to mate with as many females as he can, though the reverse is not true. Billies in their prime do the bulk of the breeding, and that usually means billies between 5 and 10 years of age. Some fighting for females can occur. A single kid is born in May. Nannies look for really out-of-the-way rugged spots to give birth, but soon afterwards join together with other nannies and newborn kids to form nursery groups. Kids remain with their mothers at least until the next breeding season, and sometimes for a couple of years beyond that. Mountain goats have a lifespan in the wild of 10 to 15 years, and they get a late start on breeding, with nannies normally not ready until 4 years of age, and 5 or older for billies. Regarding that lifespan, mountain goats, for as tough as they need to be where they live, are actually susceptible to a wide range of things that can impact populations. With regards to natural predators, that's largely limited to bigger critters like wolves and bears, and then also people. When I say they can be impacted by things, I mean that really heavy snowfalls can absolutely hammer them. For example, machines related to resource extraction, such as blasting, timber cutting, and helicopter use, can also have a detrimental effect. When you consider that the overall population, there's around 30,000 or so in Alaska, is lower than many ungulates, combined with one young per female per year and what's actually a fairly low reproduction rate, the bottom line is that it doesn't take a lot of something to take the wind out of the sails of a given population. Also, with hunting, I mentioned earlier that it's quite likely that a fair number of hunters around Bristol Bay have either hunted mountain goats or nurture a desire to do so. I've known a few people myself who have hunted them and tend to believe it's something of the tip of the iceberg, that a lot more are almost certainly out there. In many places, it's legal to harvest either a billy or a nanny, though harvest of nannies, for the reasons mentioned, can have an impact on overall numbers. As such, harvest of billies is encouraged. The upside is that, due to the remoteness and effort required to hunt goats, the annual harvest total often isn't very high, many times less than 500 per year, so there is that. A lot of us may never actually see a mountain goat or choose to pursue them, whatever the motivation for pursuing them might be, whether it's simply to watch and photograph them, or to hunt them. As much as I like to hunt, they're not on my bucket list, simply because of where you have to go to have the chance to hunt them. I'm honest enough to know and admit that I probably wasn't capable of climbing to such heights, even when my age was such to make it seem realistic, and it sure isn't going to happen now. Even so, as someone who loves being outside and is amazed by wildlife of all types, and loves being able to call Alaska home, I'm tickled to know mountain goats also call Alaska home, and happy to know a bit about these really unique alpine creatures. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.